This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Adaptive Computing, providers of MOAB, the intelligent automation software that manages more of the most complex and advanced facilities in the top 500 than any other technology. www.adaptivecomputing.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Mellanox proposes to Voltaire.
And the first petaflop supercomputer in Russia.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for December 3rd, 2010. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, we got a little late in the season news in the HPC space this week. I was kind of surprised about it. Were you shocked about this?
I don't know if I was shocked, but as we get through Thanksgiving and we think we're going to hit the slow news cycles in December, here we got a real story to chew on, right?
Yeah, so if people haven't been following this, Mellanox actually made an offer. They entered into a definitive agreement to buy Voltaire, their customer and part-time competitor in the InfiniBand
right.
space.
Exactly.
I guess, you know, this has been rumored for a while. We've had three big vendors in that space, Mellanox, Voltaire, and QLogic, and it's sort of a strange triad there. Voltaire uses Mellanox silicon, QLogic uses its own silicon for its InfiniBand switches and adapters, and Mellanox,
right.
of course, has its own, and it also offers devices, especially of late. So
it got really weird last year when Mellanox started offering its own switches, because now you're going into competition with your own customer.
Right.
So clearly Mellanox had aspirations to do more than just the silicon side of the business, but Voltaire was selling more switches.
Right. And they had that market locked up, and they had, you know, some of the sectors in that space locked up. So they were sharing the same customer base, but yeah, they were starting to right. butt heads, certainly.
Well, and locked up is a strong word for it. I don't know if Voltaire had it locked up. They certainly had a good presence.
Yeah.
Mellanox used to have the silicon business locked up until QLogic entered it.
Right, and you got to believe that, you know, since QLogic had come on the scene, Mellanox has been thinking about various ways to sort of, you know, edge them out, because, you know, they are coming on QLogic, and they've made some progress in the last year or two, certainly. And this sort of changes the game. I mean, they had basically right. two big InfiniBand vendors that now or look like they're going to join forces. They've got to go through some regulatory hoops, and the Voltaire shareholders have to agree to this. But
it's essentially done, though. We can reasonably expect this to close without any further hoopla in the Q1, right?
Yeah, they're looking at Q1 to close this deal, and yeah, I think this will go forward as well.
Right. For Mellanox, what it does is it does offer them an opportunity to continue to grow beyond just the silicon itself. Because one thing the InfiniBand vendors have to cope with is you're kind of maxing out in terms of how much InfiniBand can grow as a system interconnect for high performance computing, at least at the rapid rate that it took business away from the proprietary interconnects, because now you're really settling down to, aside from a small handful of proprietaries that are still left, like BlueJean and a couple of Crays, that everything's either on InfiniBand or Ethernet now, and the Ethernet's share has been fairly stable.
Right, and in fact, both Voltaire and Mellanox have Ethernet solutions, and now they sort of have an end-to-end solution with Mellanox's sort of dual-purpose silicon that can serve Ethernet as well, and then they've got Voltaire now with Ethernet switching. So it's definitely more complete networking company together than they've had before. And QLogic looks a little smaller now in comparison with
right.
you know, basically their InfiniBand business and their essentially unrelated fiber channel business.
Well, let's look at the Mellanox-Voltaire side of this first. Is this a win-win, or is there cause for concern?
I think it's a win-win. I mean, Voltaire was struggling, to say the least, as far as making profit since their IPO. They've made revenue, they've been growing, but they never seem to have the escape velocity to get into profitability. It's a niche market still by any way you look at it, as far as the broader networking market, and it needs a lot of R&D, and they probably just couldn't sell enough switching to actually make the volume to make it a profitable business. So combining with Mellanox is a win for them, and Mellanox gets a whole new product set, a sales and marketing force, a lot of software, management application software that Volterra's built up over the years. So they just get a more complete offering set now.
Right. I think with Volterra, you have trouble with what their differentiation was relative to, Mellanox's or QLogic's differentiation. You got a lot of software features that all three of them had, but Mellanox would claim were their own features and, some of the intelligent routing stuff that goes on. So for Volterra, it does provide that stability. And for Mellanox, the more complete product set for selling against QLogic, who now seems to be the more natural competitor.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely more of a head-to-head now with just the two of them in there. And like I said, QLogic share is shrunk in relation to that because now it's just them against the world, basically.
Right. For QLogic, they've also got a lot of interesting products and some good features, but they've been going through a little bit of churn over there, and I think they really need to figure out how they're going to increase the visibility for their solutions, because all the attention right now is on Mellanox.
Right. Now QLogic has this story about message rates that they talk about quite a bit. I mean, one of the nice things about QLogic is they developed their silicon sort of second generation to what Mellanox was doing. So they could sort of look at the field in the industry and say, okay, what's good for HPC, circa 2000 versus, Mellanox's original technology was built, 10 years before that. Yeah. So they have a story about message rates that they think they can put out there and get some uptake. And, they have been able to penetrate some of these markets and some of these OEMs especially to get out there. And it's not like they're going to go away. People like that choice. And I think they're going to make it. It's just they've got a tougher road now with a much bigger competitor to go up against.
Right. Now, you said something about the unrelated fiber channel business that QLogic has. It's not clear to me that that's necessarily unrelated, because if you're pitching end-to-end interconnects at an enterprise data center level and you're saying we can handle the performance here and we can handle this over there, the QLogic could put together a pretty good strategy around that. It's just they do have to get their story told a little more effectively.
Yeah, I just hear at least in the HPC space, I hear very little about fiber channel these days. People are either looking to, 10 gigabit E or InfiniBand for their storage connectivity.
Right.
But So, yeah, maybe in the broader enterprise, they can put together a story there if they can push InfiniBand out there, which everybody's trying to do. I mean, Mellanox certainly has talked a lot about, Web 2.0, the enterprise, to get InfiniBand there, and they've made some progress. So maybe QLogic can do the same thing, but I think it's more of a challenge for QLogic. It's just fiber channel is a niche in itself in a way, and on the other side it's InfiniBand. So I think it's hard to bring those two together.
Yeah, it could be, but you're right. We're really down to these two players. Sun used to have a pretty strong presence with some of their InfiniBand products, but the whole Oracle acquisition and all that. So really, it's down to Mellanox versus QLogic for 2011, and we'll start to see how that plays out, right?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting matchup, and QLogic will probably do something to react to this. I'm not sure what, but like I said, it's become a little bit tougher for them now. And of course, Mellanox and Volterra, just swallowing a company, has its own challenges. So, there might be some early marriage problems there. Who knows?
Yeah, could be. Well, we've got another end of year story with a large scale to it, and we'll come back to that right after a quick break from our sponsor.
Adaptive Computing's Moab Intelligent Automation products manage more of the world's most complex and advanced facilities in the top 500 than any other technology. 24% of the systems and 39% of the compute cores of the top 100 systems on the June 2010 Top 500 list. To find out what's new in Moab 6.0 for large-scale facilities and grids, hybrid GPGPU-based systems, HPC as a service, and HPC cloud. For more information on Adaptive Computing's Moab family, visit www.adaptivecomputing.com.
So, Michael, another press release that came across our desk today was from T Platforms announcing that they've got a contract agreement to provide the first petaflop system in Russia.
Right. They actually been implying this for a while now. They put out their latest Blade platform that had the NVIDIA GPUs in it, and it looks like the natural upgrade to the Moscow State University supercomputer.
Right. Phase two for Moscow State, the Lomonosov supercomputer.
Exactly, and that's an existing computer. I think it's like 500 petaflops or 500 teraflops right now, and they're looking to add these GPU-equipped blades to it to get it up, you know, well over a petaflop peak.
It's going to bring it to 1.3 peak, and most of that equipment will be delivered by the end of the year. So they're installing it now, and then it'll be fully commissioned in the second calendar quarter. So clearly they'll take a run at the next top 500 list. But at 1.3 peak, do you think they make it in terms of a petaflop sustained on the next top 500 list?
No, probably not. Not because the a lot of the extra flops are coming from these GPU blades, and you know what we've seen in the past is the GPU efficiency for Limpac is like 50%. So yep. Depending upon the mix there, it'll probably be under a petaflop of Limpac, but certainly a very large machine and a very prestigious machine for Moscow State. Right now, there's only basically 10 or so systems of this size in the world. So this is a nice win for T Platform, certainly, and for the university.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close in terms of whether it hits the petaflop sustained. I'm with you. It's probably just short. But the more of these GPU-enabled systems that we get on the top 500 list, the more optimization for Linpack we can expect to go into them, right?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of movement. I mean, there's that direct GPU technology that's promising more efficiency. I think they'll eventually figure that out. There's some challenges there.
The old process of benchmarking, right?
Yeah, benchmarking, exactly.
Figure out how to make yourselves look good. But you know, this is another big win for T Platforms, who continues to come on strong. They've got a big presence for not that big and especially a non-American company. We've been seeing them in the news quite a lot.
Yeah, we have. I mean, I've been reporting on them, it seems like, continuously all year. I mean, we actually picked them as one of the companies to watch this year. And we're watching them. I mean, they're doing stuff constantly. And, you know, just, yeah, like you said, a company this size is going to build a petaflop computer. That's sort of amazing when you think about it. It's not IBM here, and it's not an established player like Cray. So this is quite a feather in their cap.
You know, what it was making me think of is with the China supercomputers and everyone using the term Sputnik event around supercomputing, and now here comes Russia with a petaflop. You know, speaking of Sputnik,
yeah,
right? Here's actual Russia coming in with its petaflop system, right?
Yeah, I think a lot's going to be made of it. I mean, the China story we've seen, and it's going to be repeated in various stages around. I mean, I think a lot of this is going to become very politicized.
To get these
computers.
This has been in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. People are going crazy about this.
Yeah, and China is definitely. I mean, they're definitely making a push into this. It's not just the top system. They're doing a lot more. They're building facilities. They're buying and building a lot of top supercomputers. So that I think is the more important story. Whether this top system does anything productive for a while is another story, and it's almost a minor story. It's the investment that these other countries are putting into supercomputing now that I think is the thing to watch.
Yeah, I was talking with Ulysses Lee, the CTO of Dawning. I had lunch with him yesterday, actually, about China's role in the global supercomputer market. He had some interesting insights there in terms of China's ongoing role and the investment in terms of China having the money now and putting it into supercomputing. So, clearly it's something I think we'll continue to see. I don't think it implies that the U.S. is behind in technology. I mean, you and I commented both before, Michael, that if IBM or Cray had been asked to build a system like this, then, you know, they could have built it. But that's not where the strategic intent has been in the DOE right now.
Right. I mean, we just saw the Insight Awards being announced, and the supercomputers being used there are straight BlueJeans and Cray XT machines, and they're CPU-only machines. And that's,
right.
You know, And that's sort of their forte right now in the U.S. But eventually,
But both IBM and Cray have accelerator-based solutions also.
Yeah, right. And or Cray, in the case, they soon will have a big accelerator-based solution, I think. But
right. Sure,
I mean, and we'll see those computers come online, I think. But when you see something like this, where Russia is joining into this, I mean, obviously it's a global phenomenon, and. The U.S. and Europe will come on board, too. It's just going to take a little longer now.
Well, let's take one more break from our sponsor, and when we come back, we'll wrap up with a statistic of the week about InfiniBand.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Adaptive Computing, providers of MOAB, the intelligent automation software that manages more of the most complex and advanced facilities in the top 500 than any other technology. www.adaptivecomputing.com.
Okay, we're back, and this week we're going to do a statistic of the week, and Addison, I think you were going to come up with this. What struck you as an important statistic we should look at this week?
Well, one thing we were talking about in terms of InfiniBand's opportunities to grow is the ability for InfiniBand to reach out into other parts of the interconnect space other than just the system fabric itself. And one thing that we look at in our site census is what the trends are in terms of InfiniBands and Ethernets and other interconnects' role in different parts of that environment. And the statistic that we published this year is that among HPC sites who report using InfiniBand as a system interconnect, 23% of those also use it as a storage interconnect. Now, that's based on our previous site census. We published this report earlier this year. We're about to republish it, and we'll look to see how that statistic might have increased over the last year.
And do you think it will increase? Do you think that's...
I think it will increase. I think we're increasingly seeing InfiniBand come up as a storage interconnect and even in some cases among HPC sites as a LAN where they want to get a converged fabric and use the same high-performance interconnect across the entire space.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have guessed a percentage that high, but not too surprising. I mean, that's... more storage vendors are looking hard at InfiniBand. Certainly, it's from a management point of view, HPC users would like to be on a single fabric. So it'll be an interesting thing for you guys to track.
Yeah, this is where we've seen, you know, InfiniBand, where it is installed, it's predominantly is in the system interconnect circle and then maybe shows up in other places. Ethernet, where it's installed, is almost always seen as a LAN and then occasionally pushes into other areas. So we'll continue to track that and have an updated statistic on it when we publish the new report.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that.
Good talking to you as always, Michael.
Good talking to you, and we'll come back and do the show next week. We're winding down for the year, but we've got a couple more shows at least, and we'll see if we can get some more big news for you next week.
See who surprises us with more news this week.
Actually, okay.
Great.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.